This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time, John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, it's great to have you with us again.
It's always great to be here. These are very exciting times we're in.
Well, they're certainly interesting, to say the least. Let's start with a story we talked about last week, which seemed to be perhaps not as bad as some feared. We found out this week that the story involving Congressman Wiener is far worse than anyone had imagined. He's now admitted not only to the lewd conversations, sending lewd photos, lying about it all last week. Now there's even more information coming out. Some of the women are speaking out. We find out that he and his wife are expecting. So on top of all that, the calls on Capitol Hill, most interestingly among Democrats, are mounting for him to resign. Does he survive?
No. First off, I do believe that the news involving Congressman Wiener and his wife, that she is pregnant, should be completely off the table. That's their business. And all of us hope, regardless, that they work these things out privately. But that doesn't mean he should stay in the public arena. Look, Congressman Chris Lee of New York, a conservative Republican from the Buffalo area, exhibited photos of himself naked on Craigslist, and he's a married man. By the evening after the news came out, he was out of Congress and a special election was called. We can always find exceptions, but more often than not, Republicans do hold their own to very high standards. Democrats are a little slower about it, and many times those who are tainted survive. This is interesting to watch because, led by former Democratic National Chairman and Virginia U.S. Senate candidate Tim Kaine, Democrats are seemingly in a race with Republicans in getting out the calls that Wiener must go. I find it interesting that the White House has not yet made a comment on this. I will press this with the press secretary, Jay Carney. Overall, I don't see how Wiener even finds anyone to sit next to on the House floor, much less get a supporter. And my guess is he will finally choose the part of valor and resign in a very short time.
Well, it certainly does seem to be mounting against him, even his own party. Pelosi has agreed to the investigation, and perhaps most significantly, Allison Schwartz, who's got a major role in candidate recruitment, was one of the first ones out there to demand his resignation. So clearly she sees him being a bigger problem for the party at large, it would seem, if he doesn't go away pretty soon. Would that be a pretty accurate read on her announcement?
I would say so. He's making her job a lot more difficult.
I guess so. John, earlier this week, the president also meeting in a state visit with German Chancellor Angela Merkel. President, in his joint press conference with the chancellor, saying that he doesn't think we're in the double dip of a recession. And unfortunately for him, it comes at a time when most of the economic indicators are not looking good at all. A recent poll from CNN shows half of America thinks we're headed for a Great Depression in the next 12 months. And also, of course, a new poll that shows Obama on the short end of the public's confidence in his ability to handle the economy by about 20 points. So where does he stand right now with respect to America's economic health?
Well, these are not good times for the president, but we have to remember the election is more than a year away, and things can turn around. I will say that the attitude of the public, if you accept these polls, is a very dark one these days. Increasingly, Americans feel we're headed toward a repeat of the 1929 Great Depression. In addition, we're seeing that the unemployment always hovers in that very, very high range, close to double-digit unemployment. If it ever reaches the dreaded 10, Barack Obama is going to be in a lot of political trouble. There's other little clouds in the horizon, but clearly, as James Carville famously said, it's the economy, stupid. And that is something that Barack Obama has to deal with. And it doesn't help when every Republican member of the House of Representatives come out of a meeting, as they did June 1st, said the president was very cordial to everyone, very respectful of House Budget Committee Chairman Paul Ryan, but he never offered a plan of his own for anything.
And according to some members who were there, he has no intention of offering one because he prefers to hammered out behind closed doors than offer one up for public consumption like the House Republicans did. So,
and this is the president who promised the most transparent administration in history.
Certainly true. At the same time, on a plus side for the president, despite the economic winds definitely going against him, he seems to be standing pretty strong against the current slate of Republican candidates. There was one poll that showed Mitt Romney ahead within the margin of error, another poll showing Obama ahead of Romney by 6 points, and all others about 10 points or more behind, with Sarah Palin coming up at the end of the line with about a 17-point deficit against the president currently. Does this suggest right now that the president should feel relatively confident or relatively vulnerable, given the fact that a lot of these folks still aren't that well known on the Republican side?
Well, I think he must realize that as it was for the Democrats in 1932 and the Republicans in 1980, the opposition party that outside the White House is gearing up for a long and crowded nomination battle. But in the both of those cases, no matter what the criticism, once the nominees became Franklin D. Roosevelt for the Democrats in 32, Ronald Reagan for the Republicans in 80, all differences and criticisms and internecine warfare were put behind the out-of-party, out-of-power party, and they united to unseat sitting presidents in bad economic times. As a student of history, I'm sure Barack Obama has thought about this.
John, real quickly, Mitt Romney seems to be the front runner for the GOP right now, but that doesn't mean he doesn't have his fair share of critics, whether it's his health care plan, his statement on the Rush Limbaugh show this week that he believes to some extent in man-made climate change. How well is he going to survive the road to a general election, which a lot of pundits seem to think he'd have a better shot at winning than the nomination itself?
Well, I apologize to you and our friends in Radioland, Greg, for twice quoting James Carville, but I can recall hearing him at a press breakfast during the Democratic convention in Denver when he said, if John McCain chooses Mitt Romney as a running mate, I can't wait. There are so many contradictions out there, but he also felt McCain would not choose Romney, and you know the rest of the story. My guess is this, that Mitt Romney will have a lot of explaining to do about changes and things and misstatements. If he were to ask me advice, I would say he should take a page from the book of Governor Plenty of Minnesota, who was originally a believer in climate change, global warming, and supported cap-and-trade legislation. He studied the issue carefully. He went through the entire period of ClimateGate, when it came out that a lot of this research did not add up and was falsified in some cases, and he said, I was wrong, and I've changed my mind.
John, last topic before we let you go. You made another electoral prediction recently on the program, and that was for the leadership of Peru. You said that the daughter of former President Fujimori would win. Didn't exactly turn out that way.
No, it didn't, and one has to realize something else, that in the end of this race, Colonel Humala, the left-wing candidate and ally of Venezuela Chavez, won with 51.5% of the vote to 49.5% for Keiko Fujimori. Now, when it's a race that close, there's a thousand reasons that it could have tipped the other way. In this case, there was a massive strike at a mine that was foreign-owned, and remember, it was Congresswoman Fujimori's father who permitted so much foreign investment in the country. That clearly electrified a lot of the lower-income voters who are going to back Mr. Humala, who has promised to have a harder protectionist line and raise taxes on businesses in Peru, regardless of where they came from. That was a case. The other thing, the endorsement of Mario Vargas Llosa, the Nobel laureate, and himself a former presidential candidate, losing to Ms. Fujimori's father. Although a conservative, he decided to vote for Humala and said so. Again, a lot of little factors. I will say one thing. Mr. Humala's party only has 36% of the seats in the Congress, so any moves toward nationalization or scrapping the Constitution are going to be held in check and properly balanced by the opposition.
No, certainly, at least for now, certainly not fun to have another Chavez ally in power in Latin America. We have many of those already. John, thanks very much for being with us.
As I go out to the White House and bear the heat before I put the heat on Jay Carney, I'm John Gizzi.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.